Blog Talk Radio.
You blow up his mama for some money. And to sell all his people for some money. That's why we're no one today, because all the big Negroes with some money is up over here with the white folks, riding with the white folks, going to church with the white folks, marrying the white folks, shuffling and tumbling and loving the white folks. And you forget all about the brother down there in Harlem. He's rich too, living in a bad home, standing on the corner, nobody know him, nobody want him. And he represents, let them niggas make it like me. I can't take no chance on losing my money. Once we become followers of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the flesh and the blood of our people is more important than the white man's money. Money don't mean nothing if you're black to the white man. I'm repenting about $500 or $500,000, you still a nigga. Adam Clayton Powell, a big black man, bumped him off in your face unjustly. Martin Luther King, a big black man, bumped him off in your face unjustly. Muhammad Ali, the biggest black man in all history, bumped me off unjustly in your face. So excuse the expression, money worth a damn thing when it comes to wanting to be a man. And I'm proud to say that I'm the first black man in the history of all America, athlete and entertainer-wise, who gave up all the white man's money, looked the white man in his eye and told him the truth, and stayed with his people. This is much greater than being in Sweden like Floyd Faison or somebody with a white woman, ever coming through Harlem to see his people, and many more of these Uncle Tom niggas. And I'm just so happy. I go to bed happy. I wake up happy. And I'll go to jail for 10 years happy. And it'll always be said, there's one that didn't compromise. See, there are only two kind of men, those who compromise and those who take a stand.
All right, folks, this is Real Talk, Real Entertainment. I'm DJ Monk, Marty Smith. DRX is in the wind. And we are listening and re-examining what's currently taking place with the legacy of Muhammad Ali. Some have called it whitewashing, trying to change his actual dissident image and radicalization into something of nostalgic Americana, and everybody was on board. Oh, just the opposite. I think over the years, I realized that Muhammad Ali distanced as many religious folk and white folk through his style and message. He was quite controversial. He was not to be taken lightly, as if what he really had to say and bring to the table has somehow gone away or vanished. Today on Real Talk, Real Entertainment, just wanted to look a little closer at that, and we're starting with an excerpt from a speech that I actually pirated from Pacifica Radio. It's an interview from around 72, 73, prior to the end of the Vietnam War, in which he's telling you very clearly what his mantra is and what his platform is and why he has made the decisions he's made and why you need to think clearly. And looking at that in the context of what is going on today, and remind you that this is Real Talk, Real Entertainment. We'll get further into our politics on Friday, Real Talk, Real Politics. But we do deal with what's trending. And as we know, today is election day here in California. That's trending. As you know, today, or was announced earlier in the morning, that late last night, actually, Hillary Clinton has vied the Associated Press. There's a press angle that Hillary Clinton has garnered enough superdelegates to go with the magical number, 2,000 and some odd number, to be the first female elected as candidate of a major party. So going forward, on election day, doesn't that throw a wrench under everything? Doesn't that just make you just go, well, hell, what the hell am I going to vote for? Isn't this what Bernie Sanders was talking about? It had nothing to do with actual voting delegates. It had more to do with super delegates and all of the old gobbledygook that maintains the election. If you listen real clearly and intently on all of the messages, not just this particular one, that Muhammad Ali has shared with us over the decades, you'll see that he's not way off today. Also trending in the news is a student from Stanford raped a woman, white man raped a woman. He got 6 months, and the judge was concerned about him not going to the pen because it would damage his life. Meanwhile, Black Lives activist female was charged with attempted lynching. Part of the Black Lives Matter movement involved with the leadership and was just there protesting. And she got 4 years? Oh, dude. Hello? I'm glad GRX didn't call in. I need to go off. 4 years? For the black lady? For protesting? And no acts or threats of violence? Meanwhile, the white man rapes a woman, leaves her black and bruised and unconscious as he scurries and runs off when he's detected, and he gets 6 months. And the judge's heartfelt counsel, you know what? We're going to have to play the Muhammad Ali thing from the beginning again, because I think some of you don't get it. Then we'll talk in a minute.
You blew up his mama for some money, and sell all his people for some money. That's why we're number one today, because all the Negroes with some money is up on the hill with the white folks, riding with the white folks, going to church with the white folks, marrying the white folks, shuffling and tumbling and loving the white folks, and they forget all about the brother down there in Harlem, his rich dude, living in a bad home, standing on the corner, nobody knew him, nobody wrote him, and he went, let them niggas make it like me, I ain't no chance on losing my money. Once we become followers of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the flesh and the blood of our people is more important than the white man's money. Money don't mean nothing if you're black to the white man. I don't care if you got $500 house or $500,000 house, you still a nigger. Adam Creek Powell, a big black man, bumped him off in your face unjustly. Martin Luther King, a big black, in your face unjustly. Muhammad Ali, the biggest black man in all history, bumped me up unjustly in your face. So excuse the expression, money ain't worth a damn thing when it comes to voting to be a man. And I'm proud to say that I'm the first black man in the history of all America, athlete, entertainer-wise, who gave up all the white man's money. Looked the white man in his eye and told him the truth and stayed with his people. This is much greater than being in Sweden like Floyd Paz or somebody with a white woman ever coming through Harlem to see his people and many more of these Uncle Tom niggas. And I'm just so happy. I go to bed happy. I wake up happy. And I'll go to jail for 10 years happy. And I'm always saying, that's one that didn't compromise. See, there are only two kind of men, those who compromise and those who take a stand. Those who take a stand are the ones who they write history about. These are the ones the movies are made about. John Glenn was the first man to go into space, white man. They go into space every day now, but John Glenn was the one who dared to dare. He conquered it first. John Glenn will go down in history. Columbus was the first man to go around the world. They said the world is square, but Columbus went around the first time. This doctor over in South Africa was the first one lately to transplant hearts. The black man did in Chicago, 100 years ago, so we don't say nothing about it. But he was the first one made known to the world. this doctor in South Africa, never tries for that hard every day. But that doctor will always go down. His statue will be there in history. You understand? So they'll have to say that I'm the first black man that took a stand and didn't get weak and go back. And then about people make protests and say they're going to boycott and they're going to do this and do that, and then the white man put the pressure on them to back up. But I'm one who I hope and pray to Allah, his messenger, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, that I'll be one black man that they can look at and say, never had a white woman, never teach a white woman. Turn down all $10 million in commercial royalties. Turn down the world heavyweight title. Where is he at? There he is over there sitting on the garbage can with the wine cans. He don't have to be over there. There he is talking to the prostitute. There he is picking up the blood out of and taking him to the Muslim temple. There he is telling a prostitute a Muslim newspaper. He really don't have to do it. See, they have to look at me down, you know, they're just in a boxing ring with white boy. White man got all the money. Two Negroes fought each other. They can't talk. And he pat him on the back. Good fight, boy. Great fight, boy. Good show, boy. Good person, boy. Good show, boy. They can't look at me like that. I get all respect because I follow the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. You may not like rap, brown, or something called Michael, but they get more respect than the richest Negroes in America. The most white folks love the Negroes in America. But rap, brown, and something called Michael walk in the tree, traffic stops. Rap, brown, where? There he is. Tony Carmichael, where are white folks? Jumping out of windows, looking at him, hoping to touch him. And my warriors, because we are warriors, we've been dying and fighting for what they believe. They've given up $90 million a day in Vietnam enough, bro. The guts of the children for a principle. They died with false endings. Money don't mean nothing when your people are free and hungry and catching hell. So all of these so-called Negroes listening to this show, hope you learn something from this. Damn some money when it comes to your mama's freedom. You're so quick to go to Vietnam and fight and shoot, kill somebody you don't know, fight so they can be free, and you come home and you get your head busted. So if I gotta die, if I gotta sacrifice, if I gotta suffer, let it be for my black brothers and sisters, let it be for my mama, and not somebody 10,000 miles away. So when you understand what I'm saying, when you read it out, if it means money or trouble, damn the money.
You've been listening to an interview given by Muhammad Ali to Julius Lester in 1968. Curtis.
Okay, that was courtesy of Sonali Kohatkar Uprising, KPF, KABCDG, you know, Pacifica Radio. I stole it off the airwaves this morning. I didn't even know it was in her show. I just caught tail of it. And it's amazing how you could just transfer the names from Vietnam to Iraq, Afghanistan, and just take out those other folks who have been laid by the wayside, public officials, African Americans. And you can actually now put the judge that Donald Trump is talking about. These people are just overtly racist and ignorant and silly and in your face with it. And this is where we are. And to add insult to injury, all this work Bernie Sanders done to get people out to vote and up and down the state of California, I think, man, if those people had to pay to see Bernie, man, he would have raised $1 billion up and down the state. I mean, good Lord, I'm like, bro, you're a little old for all this crisscrosses. You know, Hillary's got a little bit more energy if you're a little younger, but, well, I hope you can get some rest, because, but the election is essentially over if you're voting Democratic, you know, because they already announced inappropriately that Hillary Clinton has enough superdelegates to bring her into fold as the nominee. Now, I had a couple of reactions. First reaction was, this is what gives this guy Trump fire, and he keeps calling her Crooked Hillary. And this is crooked. This is Democratic crookedness. This is the result of our election system, which is crooked, acting like it isn't. refutes the message that Bernie Sanders has brought heretofore. The reason why we're in this aspect on Real Talk or Entertainment is because it's just become an entertainment show. There's no such process as trying to elect somebody. One, if the powers that be that run the election already have decided that we're going to choose this party or that party. And this is one of the things that is going to plague us down the road in, here in America. Donald Trump probably will not win the White House just based on his mouth. And people will come to common sense and just see that we have a Nero trying to get into the White House. And that nothing good could come of this. However, more votes than any other Republican candidate in history. Hold on. His popularity is greater than any other Republican candidate in history. Bush 1, Bush 2. Reagan. And the whole host of others. Bernie Sanders, they said that in the last 6 months, over 600,000 people have registered to vote in California, largely due to Bernie Sanders. And today they find out it doesn't matter because it's jury-rigged, like you said. And what's going to come of those folks, the millions that he and Trump have invigorated? This will be a topic for the ages because the voter, when you look at the raw numbers, well, that's like two-thirds of the electorate out of the Trump, or the voting electorate, Trump and Bernie combined, versus a third of Hillary. Oh, well. And they're both saying that the process is jury-rigged. Oh, well, wow. So let's just throw all of that under the bus and just go with business as usual, because none of that really, really, really matters. And the only thing that matters is the jury rigging of the process. Excuse me. That part of the game. The game is, and that's why from time to time, you know, we have to take these shows with a grain of salt, and we have to be focused on the connectivity of issues from show to show. I'm going to take a break here at Real Talk, Real Entertainment. And on my way out, you know that Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles actually killed the box office at number one this weekend. They didn't kill it with numbers. I mean, they were number one. Number two is X-Men. And Me Before You, number three. So it was a low performance weekend. 35 million is all that the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles took in, too, by the way. X-Men Apocalypse took in 22.8, and Me Before You, 18.7. So it's just kind of showing that our issues with the nostalgic cartoons that keep showing up and rearing their head, as well as there's a saturation point. When you look at the worldwide stats, okay, worldwide, Captain America 3 was still at, 1 billion, 132,078,000. Zootopia, 1,683,000. Jungle Book, 896 million. Batman vs. Superman, 872 million. Deadpool, 772 million. All the top movies are fantasy, nostalgia, fit that came out when Bernie Sanders was a boy, or if not prior, and Donald Trump. Seems like we're just headed down a path of reliving and rethinking and reshaping ourselves in trending natures that is not ultimately sustainable.
Down
waiting for the next big thing. Don't let me down. The Chainsmokers featuring Daya is still even at 5. 7 years, Lucas Graham, even at 6. Is everything even on this? Mike Posner, 7. I took a pill in Ibiza. It's even at 7. Rihanna, Needed Me, going up. That's a good sign. I like that track. This Is What You Came For, Calvin Harris featuring Rihanna, going up the chart. Just Like Fire, Pink, going up the chart. Pink. I remember Pink, I think she was on a Arista. Oh, they worked us hard to promote her. And her first track was like a hip-hop underground hit, actually. So, good to see her still going. I actually have been to, I think I was at Club DNA years ago in San Francisco, dancing in a group with years ago. So it's good to see. She's not one of the hip-hop artists that I'm talking about. I've worked with all kinds at many levels and met them and dealt with them. And it's like at the end of the day, what I kind of like seeing this political campaign is like Donald Trump, the studio gangster, Bernie Sanders, is the aging OG, had a couple of hits. But you don't, you know, just gotta get used to it again. But you like his style. And then you got this young, spry, female rapper named Hillary Clinton that just signed a deal. And what we heard her drop on a few bars and everybody else has been pretty good. So we look forward to her handling the deal and going super flat. Despite her critics on WAC, Donald Trump, and Bernie Sanders. It sounds Tupac-y-dick, doesn't it? Oh, this is Real Talk, Real Entertainment. I don't even know how I made all those nexuses. But we did, and hopefully GRX will be back for his second show, GRX Live. But I actually may be back tomorrow. I think I will. I will be back tomorrow. Real Talk at Blue Think Tank, because there's a whole bunch of scuttlebutt that's going to develop overnight from the political season, as well as a couple of issues that are dealing with policing and race and these verdicts that we need to hammer out. This is Real Talk, Real Entertainment. DJ Monk, I'm out. Let us find an out song.
Get back.